Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Happy Monday, everybody. Good to have you here with us. Good to hear your voices. Well, I can hear your voices in my head, I guess, so maybe another issue. But happy Monday to you. I hope you had a great 4th of July. It was definitely a good 4th here in Central Texas. We celebrated it, and I hope you all did as well. So much fun to just get together with family and friends. But, you know, everyone seems to be so mindful of the freedoms we enjoy, and they are so abundant right now. We're so grateful for that. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors, United Guaranty, as well as Alamode, for being a part of the program, making it possible. If you or anyone you know is interested in advertising, and more, an increasing number of people are, we welcome the opportunity to have you contact me, and I'll be happy to talk to you about advertising on the program, becoming one of the sponsors. Appreciate it very much. Let's get out. By the way, we've got Rick Ruby a little bit later on in the broadcast. Very excited to share an interview I have had with him. There's a lot of good information. As you guys know, I attended the Mastermind 2000 event a while back, and Mastermind is a show or is a event where 2,500 top producers get together in Las Vegas each year. Rick Ruby was one of the featured speakers there. Rick Ruby, along with Greg Frost and Renee Rodriguez and Dave Savage and all these folks that we've had on the radio program, all of which contributed dynamically to the event. But I'll tell you, the highest rated speaker 2 years in a row, every year he's been there, by far has been Rick Ruby, and it's because of his direct approach. So caught up with him this last late last week and got an interview with him, and I'm very excited to share that interview with you shortly here a little bit later in the Hot Topics segment. Let's get right into what's going on in the interest rates and the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you on the line with us, as you are each and every week. Good to have you.
I hope no one showed up this morning having not been in connection with the market on Friday. They would have realized a shock. Yeah. But this morning, hey, we've recovered almost 0.75 point. Now, we lost 2 points on Friday, so we're not quite back to half of what we lost on Friday. But this morning, I think the market felt like things were a little overblown in the reaction to the job report, and both MBS and stocks are up a little bit as people are getting back and the market's functioning as a full market.
That's good to have a functioning full market rather than the emotional swings that we were seeing. Boy, there were some wild swings, though, Joe.
It was one of the worst days ever in the MBS market as far as a down price. We've had some pretty good up prices on announcements, like when the Fed first started QE, et cetera. But this was one of the biggest moves down I remember. And yeah. So let's talk about Friday. I mean, last week was all about the jobs report, both leading up to it. On Wednesday, there was a little drop in prices as ADP came in a little better than expected, and people started looking, thinking about, the jobs report coming in possibly better than what had been expected. And in fact, it did. 195,000 new jobs in June. I believe 160 something was expected, and then some significant revisions to the prior month.
To the upside.
Added to. And there have been a lot of people criticizing the quality of the jobs, but hey, it's jobs, and people are hiring, are hiring, and there's a need to accommodate demand for services and products. So it's good. The a surprise in the number was average hourly wages increased for about the best it's been in several years at 0.4%. So it was an indication that not only might jobs be increasing, but job wages are increasing, which would be inflationary. So all of this did not bode well for mortgage rates, and they fell quickly after the number and continued to fall throughout the afternoon, I think primarily on fairly thin trading. So It was a big negative week last week, and it's all about the jobs report. The other things that happened last week were, you know, it, without such a significant event, without it being a holiday, might have been market moving in the other way. For instance, China implemented a little tightening to their monetary policy, which should slow things down, which you'd think would be good for bonds, bad for stocks. Portugal's having trouble, which could create a little flight to quality, as with all the turmoil seen throughout Egypt last part of last week. So despite those things that you might think would be somewhat bond-friendly, we had that big negative movement in MBS prices last week. Now, this week, hard to imagine it being like last week, but we're starting out pretty volatile, so let's see what happens. But Wednesday's FOMC minutes will be the most significant event to occur this week, and I made the mistake of saying I didn't think the last time the minutes came out they'd be very significant to the market, but they were.
Yeah.
And so who knows what they'll tell the market this time. It's hard to me. It's easier to imagine that they might show a greater degree of softness in the economy, and therefore make people believe. You know, the tightening may be further down the road, but, you know, maybe not after jobs report on Friday. But it's hard to imagine whatever they could say could make things worse.
Oh, yeah.
The besides the FOMC minutes, there will be PPI coming out on Friday. Of course, inflation at some point is going to become an issue, and with the issues going on in Egypt and other places in the Middle East, there are concerns about the price of gasoline, and that's eventually going to make its way through the markets. And besides the PPI report, there's Treasury auctions Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and these are the big ones. Tuesday's the threes, which is not the big one, but the tens and thirties are Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
So it'll be good to pay attention around the auction times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Those are the biggies.
So
very
that's
good.
It, Dave.
Well,
after Friday,
everyone says, you know what, taking Friday off, there's not going to be anything happening going on.
I'll
tell you. You know what the thing is, Joe, if they had the service like MBS Quoteline, your service, not like yours specifically, they would have gotten the updates even if they're out on the ski boat or we're at a picnic or whatever they're doing. They could have gotten the updates and taken the appropriate action. So lots going on out there.
If they were really trying to take a vacation, they didn't want to hear what was going on in the market on Friday.
Yeah, I just hope to God their hedge position worked well for them. That's probably
the biggest thing.
So, it's crazy stuff. But Joe, we thank you so much for bringing us the news. And folks, if you do not use specifically the MBS Quoteline service, I encourage you to do so, especially when volatile days like that happen. And if you want to learn more how to get signed up, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this message, and it'll tell you exactly how you can get signed up. Be right back.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginny Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market, whether you're in the office or on the road. See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial. MBSQuoteline.com. 646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Alice Alvey, how are you doing? You have a good 4th
I'm
of July,
fine.
Alice.
Why yes, we had a great 4th of July.
I'm so glad. It was just a little bit smidge cooler up there in Michigan, I suspect. And
but it was nice. We actually had beautiful weather, so it was great up here. And, you know, we just had a blast. It was a great weekend.
Well, what's hot is all that's going on, and the regulations that continues just to seem to get hotter and hotter. Let's do this. I want to get to. We got Paul Mahler. We're going to get to right after your segment, Alice. But let's get through the what's an update on all the stuff that's related to the legislation. And I want to say again, Alice, in the midst of a move, in the midst of an acquisition that you went through, you have just consistently brought us the most. You kept us up to date. I can't thank you enough. And on behalf of our listeners, thank you so much. So what is going on? Any updates on the legislative
Well, yeah,
front?
Sitting here in boxes and using my own Wi-Fi. And so you all know what that's like when you go through a move. But, hey, you know what? We can work anywhere. So I think this is big news. And it's so it was advertised in the MBA news link that it, you know, is a big win for MBA. Mortgage loan officers are exempt again. So on July 2nd, a three-judge panel from the Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit agreed with the MBA and vacated the 2010 Department of Labor Administrative Interpretation that basically said that loan officers can't qualify under this administrative exemption for overtime. So as you all know, for the last several years, we've had to balance what did Reg Z loan officer compensation rules say? And then, oh, by the way, don't forget, Department of Labor says the loan officer has to at least make enough to cover as if they were paid overtime for the hours they worked. Do you remember we had whole programs on that topic?
Oh, yeah.
How do you manage a loan officer with a time card, right? You know, okay, so if I'm talking to my friends at the baseball game, guess what? Now that's not overtime. Now, this is not something, you know, so the circuit court didn't necessarily comment on the validity of the Department of Labor's revised interpretation that came out back in 2010. They're just simply saying that, you know, we can now go take a look at this again. So this is still talk to your lawyers, talk to your legal counsel. I have seen all varieties of how companies approached this overtime rule. Some went to great lengths or go to great lengths within HR and payroll records to make sure that there's always a minimum. Some loan officers got put on a base salary as a result of this. So this is not something loan officers who are listening, you get to go, yay, and tomorrow life is going to change, right? Things are going to have to stay the same until, you know, the lawyers and the HR people sit down and say, okay, what and if, how can we adjust based on this new interpretation? So I do think it's not something that's going to start hitting people tomorrow. Otherwise, if you're a small company, you can do whatever you want tomorrow, right? Small company flexibility. But it is really
but
big
that flexibility
news,
can get can, that flexibility can get them in real trouble, Alice. So they need to be plugged into this big or small.
Yes, I agree. And again, always seek legal counsel. So it's a very big victory for the Mortgage Bankers Association and employers in general, because now it's a clear restriction on the ability of the Department of Labor to change their administrative interpretation. And because they didn't go through a proper rulemaking process. I don't know if you all remember, it was like just one day we got this notice that, you know, life had changed. So it needs to go through a proper process in order to really be classified that loan or put as loan originator in a situation where they do need to be paid overtime. And I'm sorry, we would need to undo that through the proper rulemaking process. Yeah, so if you want to call them exempt from overtime, that's going to take some more analysis on how confident your legal counsel is with this case related to how your company is currently compensating loan officers, right?
Yep.
So that's the trickle down, but it opens the door back up, which is a big win. So hats off to the MBA for that one. Now, the other thing I want to make sure everyone's aware of is that you have checked out the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website, where now they have all the regulations listed. And they, my favorite thing, though, I have to tell you, is the fact that they put on here all these little videos, right? So you get a little guide video, and you get all the notices, and you get the final rule, and resources, and everything's all organized in this Mortgage Rules at a Glance. But they all start out with this statement that says that their videos do not represent official Bureau interpretation. Wait a minute,
and
if I have you on video, how does it not count?
I was going to say, let that stand up in court. That'll be interesting when that comes.
Right. Wait a minute. Then why do I watch the video? Why do I need to watch it then if I can't use anything in it? So anyway, I'm sorry. But, yes, that'll be helpful information. It is organized in a way that you can follow. So far, the CFPB is still having on its calendar that sometime this fall we'll get our final rule for the GFE and TIL combination documents. So that's still up in the air. So lots of unanswered questions still as we watch the regulations move forward. And I'm sure we'll have more programs on it going forward as we get a little closer and have some final answers on QM, on the QM rule. So that's my report for today, Dave. Pass it back to you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, Alice. And good luck on unpacking and getting settled in. It's nothing like thank God for MiFis and these little Wi-Fi devices. Otherwise, mm-hmm. what would we do? I mean, my office is being remodeled right now, so I'm up in a off remote facility, operating off a laptop, conducting this radio program. It's just amazing what you can do remotely. But man, it's nice to have the settled in digs. Thank you so much, Alice. We're going to be right back after this break with Paul Mollow giving an update on the headlines. You don't want to miss that, as well as Rick Ruby later on in the broadcast. Also, interesting news flash about financing of MSRs. We're going to have that on right after Paul. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals providing classroom and web-based delivery and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lincoln on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lincoln.
And good to have you back. Now let's get an update from all that's going on in the headlines. Paul Mollow at imfnews.com is with us. Paul, good to have you here. Again, I always appreciate you taking time out of your busy day. So much to talk about. And
thanks,
what do you got for us today? What are you tracking?
What are we tracking? Well, you know, let's get to the rumor stuff first. You know, there's a mortgage lender down in Georgia whose name I know, but I haven't confirmed it. Apparently, you know, we've talked about, you know, companies that got hurt when they were unhedged, when rates spiked up quickly. Well, there's rumors about a company down in Georgia, and I'm trying to get the details that they may be in trouble and they may have laid off a lot of people. You know, I guess they either were selling loans into securities or didn't have rate locks, and you know, something happened. So, you know, we'd heard this several weeks ago where, you know, when rates shot up, someone got hurt or didn't get hurt, and there were margin calls on MBS investors and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it was all, you know, sort of smoke. And now we might have a real example of a lender that may have been selling into securities or, you know, was had a bunch of loans outstanding. And, you know, suddenly they promised X rate to their consumer and they didn't have it hedged in the secondary market. So we're going to find out what happened here. So that's
these
an interesting
have been,
story.
Do you remember Capital Commerce? They went long in the market at probably the worst possible time, blew them up
exactly.
in one weekend. I mean, those stories live fresh, and any of us have been around for a while. So anyway, thanks.
Yeah, that's funny. That's the one that always stands out in my mind, Capital Commerce. And that was, what, 10 years ago maybe?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. those kind of stories, I mean, here's a functioning, really well-run company, at least it looked like it on the surface. And
right.
they were long. It's just unbelievable. Paul, we'll be looking forward to you got to go to www.imf news to follow the rest of that story. But what else do you have for us?
What else we going on? Well, apparently there's a new study out by Richie Mann Company about what non-bank mortgage CEOs make. So that's on our website. There was a big servicing deal between Ocwen and its affiliate Home Loan Servicing Solutions.
I saw that.
Your viewers might remember that Ocwen spun off HLSS about 18 months ago, and Ocwen just transferred receivables tied to about $83 billion in loans over to HLSS for about $2.67 billion. That was disclosed in SEC filing this morning that we dug out. Springleaf, which is an interesting company that
yeah.
used to be the old American General. It's now owned by Fortress, which also owns NationStar. They're out there trying to put together an MBS backed by non-performing subprime loans, and the size of that bond is about $830 million. So that's interesting. So there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in that regard. PennyMac last week closed on a non-performing loan purchase from Citigroup. That market's really heating up, and that's going to be interesting to watch between now and year end. There's all sorts of rumors about a lot of large banks unloading product by the end of the fourth quarter, you know, to basically clean up their books and, you know, sort of close out 2013 with, you know, a clean slate for next year. So, and there's all sorts of rumors about what the British bank, HSBC, might unload before year end. So, you know, there's plenty perking out there, even though it's the summer, and things tend to be a little slow on the news front. But, it's, you know, even though it's the week after 4th of July, there's still plenty of information out there, and it's all on our website, www.imfnews.com.
And it is a key. And, folks, I mean, there's a few opportunities to get sponsorship on that program or on that website, too. So if you're looking at a great place to get your word out, every time we run an ad or had an ad on there, I get so many phone calls. That's a great place to get the word out. Contact Paul or contact Guy Sakala there at Industry or Inside Mortgage Finance and to learn more about sponsorship attitude or, opportunities there as well. But, Paul, thanks so much for taking time and giving us an update.
Thanks, David.
I appreciate you taking time to say hi to Guy and Joe and everyone else around there. Appreciate the partnership we have with you. And have
you
a great rest of the week.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. Some interesting developments going on as it relates to financing of MSRs, and I recently caught up with David Flagg, and we're going to get Andy Schell's take on this in just a minute, but listen to a couple of things that David Flagg had to say for Steadfast Capital. Pretty interesting.
Just turn on the recorder, so we're going to go 5, 4, 3.
Oh.
Folks, we're very fortunate.
Sorry about that. I realized I uploaded a previous broadcast, the unedited one. I thought I had this, so you're going to hear some of the editing before we hear it. So we get the comments from David. Here we are.
Just
Sorry,
turn
again,
on the recorder, so we're
going to
go 5, 4, 3. Folks, we're very fortunate to have David Flagg of Steadfast Capital on the call, and I'm excited for our listeners to get an update of some of the things that David is doing. By the way, many of you know David Flagg. He's well known to the industry, a veteran for many, many, many decades. And David, good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What are you folks doing at Steadfast, seeing in terms of the financing for MSRs? We've been talking about servicing, David, and MSRs are something of real interest. What are you doing as it relates to this?
Well, despite many of the larger mortgage companies beginning to retain MSR in the past 12 to 18 months, very little lending has been done against the servicing asset. A few of the commercial banks have made advances against MSR, but those have been limited to 360-day loans that are essentially working capital facilities.
Yeah, that's true. But let's get you to elaborate a little bit more on that, David.
You bet. The banks are reluctant to provide multi-year term financing on MSR due to the language contained in the agency acknowledgement agreements. These are tri-party agreements between the mortgage banker, the lender, and, say, Fannie Mae, and must be done in conjunction with the lender making a UCC filing against the MSR. The problem tends to be that the agencies reserve broad powers and discretion in these agreements, which creates a degree of uncertainty in the minds of most of the chief credit officers out there as to whether they would have the unfettered ability to foreclose on their MSR collateral in a default situation.
Yeah, that's so true. Is there hope for a solution to this dilemma, David?
Well, the agencies have been willing to discuss it with some of the large banks, but based on updated conversations that we had at the MBA in New York a week or so ago, there's really been little to no substantive changes in the required documentation to date for Fannie, Freddie, or Ginnie. We do believe it is possible to structure term financing in a way that certain banks will become comfortable making the term loans. But frankly, we see much of the solution coming from private investor capital. I guess the good news is that there's plenty of yield inherent in the MSR being booked today, such that our investors can make an acceptable rate of return, and the cost of the financing is still very accretive to the mortgage banker.
So what do you expect to see over the balance sheet for 2013, David?
We are currently working with several lenders and investors that are very interested in providing structured term financing on MSR. We're also having conversations with a number of blue-chip mortgage companies that are anxious to secure such facilities to augment their ability to retain servicing every month. We're optimistic that the first of these facilities will close before Labor Day, David.
That is encouraging. Can you preview the likely terms of this type of financing?
Sure. We're seeing maturities of being discussed between 3 to 7 years. The high end of that range is really optimal for the mortgage company since it better matches the duration of the servicing asset. The longer the period of financing offered, the higher the pricing will be, obviously. I guess the other guidance I would give you is 5 to 7 year financing may include some yield enhancement features for the lenders to supplement the stated interest rate on the notes. But again, when we model this, it's still quite accretive to the mortgage bankers, so it's a classic win-win.
It's fascinating. This sounds very encouraging, and we wish you guys the best of luck in your mission to provide critical financing for the mortgage industry, especially at this time when some of the opportunities are there. David, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast.
Thanks very much, David, and we'll keep you posted.
We appreciate that. And, folks, we've had David Flagg, who is the president and CEO of Steadfast Capital, LLC. You can reach David by dialing 289-980-0757. Again, that's 281-980-0757. And check out their website, www.steadfastcap.com, steadfastcap.com. David, good to have you with us, and look forward to having you back.
We look forward to it, David. Thank you very much.
Okay, listeners, good. I apologize for the fact that I uploaded that as a result of the I usually edit out the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, but he did such a good job with that interview. It didn't hardly do much editing anyway. So good to have that information. But, Andy, I thought for those that don't understand, MSRs are mortgage servicing rights, and the fact that that is something you can finance, and you being the profit doctor, give us some insights for the listeners that may not know specifically what David's referencing and some of the opportunities this really creates.
Sure, sure, Dave, absolutely. And we're live, right? Is this tape still? No, we're live.
Are,
right?
We are.
am I really here?
Yes, you are really here.
Well, Dave, what's exciting about this, I mean, really, really, really exciting about this is that the ability to retain servicing rights is something that's been on everybody's mind, primarily because the cash flow value of the servicing collected as the service fee over time is more than the true cash value of the servicing rights sold at origination. Now, we've talked about this with Austin Tillman and Dave Stevens and a bunch of others, but the SRP tables you get from the investor are inflated because they reduce the gain on sale, and they're really fabricated. You're not getting 2% paid on your SRPs. You're really only getting maybe 75 basis points to a point. So the true cash flow value of the servicing rights by retaining the servicing and collecting the service fee over time is really more like 1 in 75 to even potentially 2. People put their servicing rights on their books at various levels around 70 to 80 basis points. Now, here's the trick. For mortgage bankers to be able to retain the servicing means that you're going to have to do without that approximately 1% in cash flow income that's received when the loan is sold to the investor. So you got to have a way of either operating at such a tremendous margin that you can survive by not having the cash flow. Your financial statements still going to show about the same because you're going to recognize the mortgage servicing rights as income when you set the loan up on your servicing system. But right. You're not going to collect the money for it until it's collected over time. And that this is actually becomes a what they call a book tax difference, because tax Why is you only pay tax on when you've collected the service fee? For your GAAP books that go to your warehouse line lender, you reflect the gain on the servicing when it's set up. Okay, so lots of detail. The bottom line of all this is being able to do this, being able to make that, put the servicing on your books means you have to have enough money to cover the 1% shortfall, and that's been a challenge for a lot of lenders. Being able to finance part of that shortfall in cash flow, even if all you did was collect half of your MSR up front from a facility provided by a private investor, which is what David Flack's talking about, would make the difference between, for a lot of lenders, being able to finance, being able to retain the servicing versus being able to need to release it to collect the cash flows. So this has been a big business in mortgage lending for years and years and years and years, and it all blew up during the Taylor, Bean & Whitaker fiasco when Sovereign Bank lost about $100 million in MSRs when Ginnie Mae pulled the servicing rights from TBW. So we can all blame TBW for a lot of this because it was really a bad deal. But there is true value in the lending relationship to finance the MSRs, as David's talking about. He used the word accretive twice. And what that means is if the value to the lender is sufficient, the value to the person financing the MSRs is sufficient, then they can get a good yield, and the mortgage banker gets a good yield by retaining the servicing. So said another way, the amount of money the mortgage banker makes by retaining the servicing, even after paying the private investor the money to borrow the funds to help provide the cash flow to support the MSRs, the servicing rights that are retained, it's still better for everybody. So David Flagg says it's a win-win, and that's truly what it becomes, because the mortgage lender can now retain servicing that they couldn't have otherwise. The lender gets a good yield because the mortgage banker is going to pay them a fee for the borrowing. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's a great transaction. And David said that they're focusing on blue-chip mortgage companies to start, which means that for a lot of mortgage companies, it isn't going to be there yet. But as they crack the code on getting comfortable with the risk assumption associated with financing mortgage servicing rights, because the tri-party agreement is not going away, the agencies are still going to have a preferential right to the servicing. So that means these lenders are going to have other triggers in place to monitor the servicing activity regularly to make certain that the servicing is done right, so that they don't end up with the agency pulling the servicing and losing the MSRs, which is, you know, what happened to Sovereign. So they're going to have to watch it closely, but it's still a great yield. It's a great return. There's a lot of ways to measure that. So I applaud David and his group for getting into this market, and I would suspect that as this success becomes known, there's going to be other opportunities for other lending groups to come in and do the same thing, because there's still a lot of cash on the sideline. We're still only at 3% handles on government, or 2% to 3% handles on government debt. So if you can take this and make a 10% or 7% return in financing MSRs, it's a great transaction for the lender. It's a great transaction for the mortgage company. Everybody wins.
Yeah, everyone wins. It's really a significant development. And I want to I've got the Rick Ruby interview I want to play here in just a moment. But to learn more about this, you heard the information on that broadcast. You can download or email us. We'll get you David Flagg's information. But also, if you want to learn more, especially the color, the things that Andy just added to that. One of the things I value most about Andy Schell and the Profit Doctor is he takes these complicated financing mechanisms and boils it down, distills it down to something you can really understand, and it's something everyone should be paying attention to. It's a significant development, and to get a hold of Andy Schell, the best thing to do is email him, andy@mbs-team.com, andy@mbsteam.com. Is that right? Any other preferred ways, Profit Doctor, for them to get a hold of you? I think not. Anyway, we're going to get right into the Rick Ruby interview. Excited about what we have going on here. Rick, again, was the top-rated speaker at the recent Mastermind event in Las Vegas. Without further ado, let's hear what Rick's in my conversation, how it went just on Friday. Thank you. Folks, I am excited to have with us today Rick Ruby of the CORE Training Group. And Rick, are you on the line?
I am, David. How are you?
Good. So good to have you here with us, and I appreciate you taking time. Folks, we're recording this in advance of the broadcast because of Rick's schedule. He coaches so many people, and he's so disciplined about it, and he's actually has a coaching session when the broadcast is normally scheduled. So we're pre-recording this, and we just want to thank you again, Rick, for taking time to be with us.
Well, David, I'm very excited. You know, we met about 3 weeks ago at Steve Marshall's Mastermind event. You know, I think we do very similar things. We have very little similar values. I think that when you know, you're in the mortgage training business, you're teaching the same things, guys like me and you should be aligned.
Oh, I agree, Rick. One of the questions I have for you is there were so many great speakers there at the Mastermind Conference in Las Vegas, but you are consistently one of the highest rated speakers on the platform. Why do you think that is?
Well, David, I think that I've been a trainer now. I've been a mortgage man for 29 years nonstop, and I've always been a really good salesman and run a really good couple branches. I consider myself a top-notch mortgage man, and I consider myself a top-notch trainer. I really think I'm the best trainer in the mortgage business, and I'll tell you why. I have no formal education. I was kicked out of high school in 12th grade. So because of that, I have to keep things really, really simple. And my style of learning is I'm very tactical. Like, I love GPS, David, and I put in an address, and it tells me exactly how to get somewhere,
exactly.
When to turn right, when to turn left, how many miles to go. So I look at my coaching business in that same type of tactical structure, and that's how we coach at the core. And that's really, I mean, everybody will say right now that it's a purchase-driven market and you got to chase realtors. At the core, we call 40 realtors every Monday like clockwork. Every one of my 220 members who pay me $2,500 a month, all my 1,200 people that are on my level one are all told the same thing. You've got to call 40 realtors every single Monday for the purpose of getting an appointment because, David, we know email is weak sales, phone is better sales, face-to-face is best sales.
You know what, Rick? It's so true. Here's my theory on why you are so effective in speaking to audience. Well, number one, your values. You're deaf. There's something different when you talk the values that you do. But the thing that really struck home with me that just resonated is you shoot straight and you're direct and to the point. And you said some of you are not successful because you've chosen not to meet.
Agree with that, David?
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yep. But I just think that life is about choices. Like, I decided to live my life for Christ. So I'm going to live my life for Christ every day. I got a Bible that sits on my desk. I read it every morning when I get in the office. What happens is you stand for something, David, or you stand for nothing.
Yeah, that's so true, Rick.
And the thing about me that people like, David, is I take a stand. Now, listen, sometimes I'm wrong. But I take a stand, I follow it 100% until I learn a better way, and then I follow the new path. And I will tell you this, David, I'm always changing and evolving. When I was talking at Mastermind, we talked about the tactics it takes to make over $250,000. Let's be honest. If you make under $100,000 in the mortgage business, David, you're doing it all wrong. Do you agree with that?
Correct. I agree.
And I've been chasing realtors for 29 years. I got in the business, and I went to the top guy in the company, and I said, hey, I want to be a great loan rep. He said, well, two things. You got to know your guidelines backwards and forwards, and you got to chase realtors. So do you think I ever put down that information?
Nope.
All people know, David, in the mortgage business that they've got to chase realtors, but they don't because it's not easy.
It's right.
Simple, but it's not easy. Like, realtors are a little bit fickle. I mean, you got to stay in their face all the time. They're a little unprofessional, but you've got to help them and guide them. That's really what the relationship is about.
And they're open for it. But, Rick, you really confronted people about actions. A lot of people want success, but they don't know how to get it.
First of all, that's the problem. They want it. I'm going to be successful. You know, I believe in coaching, and I've had 9 business coaches in my life.
Right.
How many business coaches have you had, David, where you've paid them money?
So a lot.
Now, most people have never paid a business coach ever.
You're kidding.
Nope. You ask most top mortgage men that make $200, $300, $400, and they stand proud and say they figured it out all by themselves. Well, David, I haven't figured out any of this. I have had great people that made more money than me that told me what to do, and I did it. But listen, the key ingredient there, David, I don't pick coaches that do not have better businesses than me. All 20 of my coaches, David, make $1 million a year as producing loan officers.
That is something you want to associate with, yes.
Well, because I have the best coaches in the industry, it's not like with me, I'm a really good mortgage man. Last month, I closed 135 loans for $28 million in production. That's a lot of business.
That is.
But because I do loans every single month, I don't tell you what I think works or what worked 20 years ago. I tell people what works right now, today. Like right now, today, you got to have 25 realtors, you got to have 2 builders, you got to have a 400-person database, and you got to have a 3-person team. You need an experienced person, an inexperienced person, and you need a dialer in today's market. I own 4 little net branches of a mortgage company. I quit producing in 2009 because I got so many things going on and I moved to Charlotte, but I still look at that as all my business that I'm controlling.
So let's talk. How did you come by this, the systems and processes?
I worked for Joe Stump for 6 years, and I was his lender coach, and he paid me $15,000 a month, and I got on his stage every month. And every one of those three-day seminars, David, I was in that room at 9 o'clock and stayed in that room till 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Now, when you watch most speakers, even at Mastermind, they show up when? When it's their time to talk, and what do they do after?
You were sitting in the audience. I saw you. You
all day for 3 days learning from those other people and seeing what I could do well.
That also impressed me. That I don't know if a lot of people picked up on. You are learning from what others have. Even if it's just a nugget here and there, you are always a student. So that gives me insight to how you picked up some of your processes. So
and then you saw that I pursued Tony Robbins, right?
Yes, I did.
I ran right up to Tony Robbins backstage, asked him, got to know him, talked to him for 10 minutes. Now, he said, Rick, I'm interested in coaching you, but you've got to come to my Chicago event, you've got to come to Fiji, and we'll talk about it. So what do you think I've done since Mastermind with Tony Robbins?
You pursued him.
Well, we've called him 15 times. I finally got to his personal assistant. He knows who I am. I'm not only going to Chicago, he caught me to come to his Chicago event. I'm meeting with him Friday night personally in Chicago after his event is done to talk about coaching me.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Now, I'm hiring Tony Robbins because he makes about $50 million a year, and I make about $4 million a year, David. So for me to grow, what do I got to do?
You got to go to someone who's making more.
Good. And the people in the mortgage business that hire me, why do they hire me?
Because you are making more than them, and you're
that's
the
right.
path. Yeah.
So we coach producers and producing net branch owners. I just started coaching some non-producing owners, but I normally leave that to you. That's your specialty.
I
focus on the salesperson and the branch owner. But the only non-producers I coach, David, are like the branch owner, not the big owner of the company. You understand that when people ask me what I do for a living, I say I'm a salesman in the mortgage business and I'm a business coach. So I want to be in the streets, in the mortgage business. I go on realtor appointments every week with my loan officers. I do lunch and learns where I get in front of 50 to 100 realtors every week, every 2 weeks. I do happy hours with my guys for realtors. I'm still in the realtor chasing business.
You know, what is so fascinating is some of the people that you have associated with you. And Shayla, is it Shayla Gifford?
Yeah. She's one of my coaches. She's from Reno, Nevada, makes about $2.3 million a year, excellent loan officer, closes about 50 transactions a month.
Tell us about that interview.
Well, here's the thing. Shayla is one of those overachievers in life. And, David, everybody's not going to have that kind of career. Everybody's not dynamic. Everybody's not driven. Like, you have to be successful, you have to have three things. Number one, you have to be ambitious. You can't wait for something to happen. Like, David, the thing I like about you is you pursued me after you met me. We
Absolutely.
Met at dinner. We've talked once since then. Now I'm on your radio show. See, guys like me and you, we don't wait for stuff to happen. We make it happen.
Exactly.
So you've got to be more ambitious. That's number one. Number two, you got to be like me and Shayla. You got to be dynamic.
Yes.
You got to set yourself apart from the pack that people see you and they never, ever forget you. And number three, you've got to have a clear plan to follow. If you're ambitious and dynamic and you don't have a plan, you're going to run around in circles.
Shayla's a great testimony to your coaching skills.
I met Shayla about 3 years ago. She was doing really, really well. She works for Guild Mortgage, which is a great company, and she was making about $250, and she's just been one of the best students I've ever had. And in a three-year period, she went from $250 to $2.2 million, and this year she's probably going to break $3 million in income. She's a producer that closes 50 loans a month. She has a branch with 7 loan officers, and they close 100 loans a month with 8 loan officers. That's
loans.
A great branch, David. In Reno, which is a horrible little market. Have you ever been to Reno?
Oh, yeah. I ski there all the time. I love it.
I mean, Reno is not a dominant market. I mean, they got low mortgage amounts, but they close a lot of volume. I have 21 coaches, 4 realtor coaches, and 17 lender coaches. All my realtor coaches make $40 million. All my lender coaches make $1 million a year, and we all follow the exact same guidelines, the exact same principles, and the exact same plan. But now listen, every one of these 21 people, David, is ambitious and dynamic. Most people that are dynamic are not ambitious. Like I told you that I called 28 or 30 owners of mortgage companies in the last 6 or 8 weeks. I just pick up the phone, and I prospect all the time, David. Then I build really good teams, and I think there's a lot of top producers that don't have really good teams, David. Like, you work with a lot of owners.
I do.
How important are their operations?
Oh, it's critical.
Critical. So if you don't have a great team as a loan officer to support you, you're going to start breaking promises.
Absolutely.
And that's all I care about, David, is that every year me and all my clients have growth, that every year you get a little better, few more realtors, few more transactions, better staff, and you're always getting better. Nobody's ever the best. Somebody is always better.
Yeah.
But my goal is to be my personal best.
Rick, what has been the key to your success?
I'm in the relationship business.
Yeah.
You have to get to know people on a personal level if you're going to be in business with them. That's why, David, I only coach 220 people with 21 coaches. Each coach coaches 10 students. We're personally involved with them. But here's the thing. If they like me, David, they'll listen to me. If they trust me, they'll do what I say. Like, your audience may listen to me on this radio show and they say, well, I like him, so they might think about what I'm telling them. But if they totally trust me and they're in relationship with me, David, they're going to, like, I'm not interested in being one of Tony Robbins's little clones. I'm interested in having a personal relationship with Tony Robbins. But I'm not going to treat a rich guy any different than I treat a poor guy. Listen, David, my friends are from poor to rich. I could care less. I care about the quality of people they are. I care about how much they worry about me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you got to realize. There's no separation between one mortgage company and the other. There's separation between the individual people at those mortgage companies. I think you have to know people's personal lives. And I will tell you this. I'm a guy, David, that worked 90 hours a week and got divorced. Now I'm a guy that works 32 hours a week. I've been in a marriage for 10 years. I've got really good relationships with my children. I'm involved in my community. I coach Little League basketball. I'm involved in my church. I go to a men's Bible study. I mean, I'm a man that wants to live a balanced life. But listen, I could work more hours and make more money, David.
Yeah, but it's the balance. And that's what Sheila said.
But, David, I think to achieve balance, you got to have a clear purpose on why you're doing this in life.
I absolutely agree. Let's get into talking about your training products. What do you offer?
I offer three products. If you make over $250,000 a year, we have level three coaching at $2,500 a month. Right now, we have about a year and a half waiting list for people that want to get in that program. I just swear to you, David, I just had 85 people at my last event sign up for coaching. I took 35 because I didn't have enough coaches. So I've just brought up four more coaches that I'm going to train. Coaches have to be with me 2 years and have to master the products. My product that everybody can get and everybody can afford is my Level 1 coaching program, which is $199 a month. It comes with me interviewing two of my coaches every month and me teaching some tactics on how to make money. It has an open line call where each one of my coaches rotate the call. You get on an open line call. You ask questions of a guy that makes $1 million a year. But here's the key, David. If you're not going to implement what we say, don't bother signing up. Most people, David, talk a bigger game than they deliver.
Yeah.
But I'm not a therapist. I'm not a life coach. I'm a mortgage coach teaching mortgage people how to make more money and how to save more money. But, David, I track every month of my 220 primary students, I track every month how much they saved and how much they gave away.
Wow. Just talk on that for a minute. Why is that so important?
Well, I mean, if you're not a – you know how many guys I meet, David, that make a lot of money and they're broke?
Yeah, true.
That's a horrible life, isn't it?
It is.
The average American right now has $14,000 in credit card debt, and last year the average American saved negative $1,500. We're a nation of broke people, including our country is broke, and it embarrasses me that our country owes $16 trillion in debt. We should have no debt whatsoever. The only debt anybody should have is a mortgage on their house. They should not have a car loan. They should not have a credit card balance. So I really started the core teaching people about financial awareness and how to be aware of their money and how to live on a budget. So every one of my 220 students sends me a call sheet every week. They send me a lead tracker, a pay log, a P&L, and we look at their personal budget every month to see how much they're spending, how much they're saving, and how much they're giving away. So that's kind of who we are, David, and what we do. I'm not looking to be in relationship with everybody. I'm looking to be in a relationship with about 300 top producers across the country, and I'm looking to be in relationship with 2,000 or 3,000 loan reps that are on my level one at $199 a month that are committed to being my soldiers, that their purpose is to get bigger so they can be on level three coaching.
Good.
That's really what I'm about. But I want to change the industry, David, but I believe in the movie Pay It Forward. You help a few people, not all the people. I've decided to put on a big event in February, so there'll be a big event in February in Dallas that anybody can come to. There's going to be a big sales training where 10 of my coaches are going to speak at.
Talk about the event in February. You say
so
it's open to anybody?
In February, it's going to be our mega marathon. This will be the second year we've done it. We go from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. I give you 10 coaches. We do Q&A. They teach you what they're doing in their business. We do breakfast, lunch, and dinner included, so they're not at a fancy place to go partying. They have to be in the room at 9 o'clock, and they have to be in the room at 9 p.m. They can't float around. If I see them in the hallways, I'm going to yell at them. It's a core event where they come there for serious people that want to learn the tactics on how to make money. Now, my big events that I do, my two events I do annually, I do a November and a May event only for people that make over 250. I only allow 150 guests plus my 220 members, and that's more of a classroom-style learning event at a high-end resort, and those events are always sold out 6 months to a year in advance.
Rick, talk about your entry-level program.
You know, I really like a program that has accountability, and it's hard for me to give the masses accountability. So it's a low accountability program, but it has fabulous content. It tells you exact tactics every 2 weeks on how to make more money, how to make sales calls, how to call on realtors, how to build your team, just basic stuff in the mortgage business.
Your concepts are not this real mystery kind of things that's difficult to figure out. It's real basic common sense stuff.
You can't do internet marketing and make a living. You got to be belly to belly with realtors. Like me and you are starting a relationship, David, getting to know each other, hanging out, talking about Jesus, talking about marriage, talking about kids, and that relationship will do one of two things. It will blossom or it will fizzle. Now, if it blossoms, what will happen, David, with our relationship?
Good things. It's going to grow.
We will learn and we will earn together. We will learn off each other and we will earn off each other, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's exactly right how I believe in life. You've got to go out there and you've got to build these relationships with 15 to 25 realtors that become your friends, and you're double dating and you're socializing and you're going to their birthday parties. That's really my business style. I can't stand the word marketing. I can't stand the internet for doing business. I have no interest. So if you're interested in doing business with me, call up my office, talk to one of my salespeople, find out what we do, get on our CD program. If you make over 250, inquire about getting on a waiting list to come to one of our next events.
One thing I want to bring about is that Shayla said that she started with that $199 program.
Right. She was on that for about 8 months.
Yeah, and then she implemented that, and it was a great way. So, folks, if you're looking for a great way to get to know Rick, first of all, start at that $199 program a month, and you're going to learn some principles, and you're going to hear from the experts, and then graduate up. Let's go back as we close out the program, Rick. Tell me how people can get a hold of you. What's the 1-800 number, and what's the website again?
1-800-660-6670. 1-800-660-6670. Call my office. Talk to one of my salespeople. Figure out what you need to do business. If you make over 250, they'll put you to one of my two top salespeople, and we'll talk about how to get into a coaching relationship, how to build that up. Maybe we'll even schedule a call with me and talk about if it's a good fit. And because, David, a lot of people, like, I don't take on clients who make over 650. Why?
That's a good question. Why don't you?
They know it all.
Very good.
My market is people that make between 250 and 650. If your people work with me, they're going to explode.
I feel like you've almost gotten me to explode on this broadcast. I love your enthusiasm. You're obviously very excited about this industry.
How can people not be excited about the greatest industry in the planet? The mortgage business is the greatest industry in the world. There's no better business to be in than the mortgage industry, and most people don't appreciate it enough, David. They take it for granted.
Rick, I agree this is the greatest industry, but I'd like to hear why you believe it is the greatest industry.
Well, I think it's the greatest industry because you can make whatever you want to make. You get to truly serve people on the largest purchase they ever make in their life. You get to help them get their finances in order. I love it.
Well, it is exciting to see what impact you are having on the lives of so many that are drawn into the wisdom and knowledge and common sense. Again, there's no special path to success other than this. Discipline and getting a great coach and do what they say. If you want to be better, folks, get someone who's successful. Emulate them.
And David, if they don't hire me, hire somebody.
Hire somebody.
Hire somebody that's going to hold you accountable, teach you more about the mortgage business. Stop trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
David, I had a great time. Anything else you want to finish up with?
I just want to tell everybody, get to know Rick. Get to know his company. It's going to serve you well.
I'm getting excited to get to know you, and I really appreciate you putting me on your radio show.
It's an honor to have you here. Thanks so much for taking the time. Well, I got to tell you, folks, that was one of those interviews where you just get so fired up. And you can kind of get a little bit of an idea why he is so magnetic at drawing people to him. Again, and he doesn't mince his words, shoots it real straight. And I think that's one of the things that's so refreshing for people to hear is, like he said, people are wanting leadership. A couple of things he said that are really in that interview that caught my attention. He says, I'm GPS system, basically paraphrasing what he said. I'm the GPS system for LOs. If you want to be successful, follow my path. It's the tactics. It's that step-by-step, turn-by-turn. Alice, I want to bring Joe and you and Andy back into this conversation. We've got literally 5 minutes before we have to hit the door on this. So just let's 3 minutes. Get your feedback on the interview. Alice?
Well, I think Rick is a great personality for a lot of people because who need that extra push. And I think that's true about a lot of sales coaches and even the sales speakers, you know, Greg and everybody that we've had on the show before. Is, you know, there are a lot of different loan officer personalities. And so just that for that very reason, you have to find the right coach and the right person that's right for your personality to help you succeed. Because I truly do believe what he said. It's very difficult to do it alone for a lot of people. Especially with the changing market dynamics all the time.
Well, that's why people need you. No kidding. I mean, it's how you can't go it alone in this market. This is truly becoming a community, and we are becoming more and more dependent on each other. That's a great point. And I think your point about, you know, different styles for different folks, he has a very directive style. The tactics work, and he's got just a stage full of testimonies of people actually doing it, and it's so impressive to sit and listen to that. Joe, let's run over to you and then get to Andy.
Where do you sign up? And that was a phone interview. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine seeing him on stage or working with him for a while? I mean, that was high energy. It was very impressive.
And you know, people, you guys know I cut out the oohs and ahs and some things like that. I didn't have to do hardly anything on his or the other one. I uploaded the other wrong interview with Dave Flagg, the one I didn't have edited. But, I mean, it's that kind of energy. And when he gets on stage, there's something that comes over him. It's like sticking your finger in a light socket. So, yeah, where do you sign up? That's a great comment. But, I mean, it does work. It's here's the thing that's impressive to me about this. Is you talk to Greg Frost, you talk to Rick or any of these guys – you know what? But the first of all, I like the fact that he says, if you don't like me, go with somebody. Get a coach. Get help, which is Alice's
right.
point. But then it's the tactics. It's that, you know, what do I do next? When things start going crazy, what do I do next? So I like that.
It's tough to hold you accountable. You know,
yeah,
I mean, everybody
needs
someone to hold their feet to the fire, and that's what I think Rick does very well.
Well, you know what? A lot of people need to have their feet held to the fire on the financial side. So let's hear from the profit doctor. Andy, I think of you on this. We got to get you out there. People, I mean, how cool would it be when they fear you getting dropped out of their program? He was firing a guy if he didn't call repent on some change his attitude in something. And Shayla, who was probably the most amazing guest that he had up on the stage that he shared, she says, the biggest nightmare I have is Rick will fire me. So, Prophet Doctor, that's your goal. You got to get to the point where people respect and love you.
Well,
so they fear, oh, my God, the Prophet Doctor's not my life, or Alice Alvey's not my life, or Joe Farr, I don't have a service. So, your thoughts?
Well, he said that the people to be successful have to be motivated and dynamic. And he said a lot of times the people that are really dynamic aren't terribly motivated. It's kind of like the CPA mentality can be very very motivated and structured and organized, but not very dynamic. And the salesperson that's bouncing off the walls can be very dynamic, but not ordered at all. So you have to have both together. And part of his point was that it's kind of like from the movie Chariots of Fire, where the running coach is saying to the guy, I can't put in what God left out, but if you've got it, I can make it better. And that's part of the point here. If you've got the skills, you need to have them tuned and honed. If you don't have the skills, you may not ever get there because you're never going to. If you're not already dynamic, then it's going to be difficult to become dynamic. So I think it's holding people accountable, like Alice has been saying, I think is really the key.
And
I
Andy,
mean,
what's the return on that investment?
Well, the function of what the return
you
got to
be pretty
is.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you listen to Shayla. She was saying on stage she was between 250 and she had 1 year. She was, I think, 370,000. She says, I thought I was rocking the world. I'm the primary breadwinner for our family. She was young, married, had two babies at home, and she was working. And then she met Rick, and she's going to do over $3 million in 2013. And he says that, Dave, when we were talking to beforehand, he says, Dave, that's not the future. That's not her total revenue. That's her W-2 take-home earnings. Ah, I'd love to talk about it. Fired me up, guys. That was a good interview. I enjoyed it. And you can only imagine what he's like in live. You're absolutely right, Joe. Sign me up. Folks, we're so excited. Next week, we're going to be talking about internet marketing. Rick threw out a challenge. He says he doesn't think it works. I agree with him. It's belly-to-belly works the best, but there are different ways you can form relationships in this new world. We're going to have Scott Gordon talk about that. He's written a book on internet marketing, internet sales, how it's going to work effectively for you. So, folks, stay tuned. Come back next week as we work on that. And we look forward to having you back. Appreciate you telling others about the broadcast, folks. Without you telling others, they're not going to find out about it. This is here for you. It's a public service to you. And we thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast. Have a great week, and thank you. Let's celebrate our freedoms. Thanks for the 4th of July and all the servicemen who made it possible for our freedoms. Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.